bother me too much.
Oh. I mean, I don't really fry too much, but...
What do you... Can I record this seriously?
Sure, yeah.
What do you do when it rains out? How do you ride your bike in the rain?
Well, I get my rain gear out, and I put it on, and then I get really hot on my way to wherever I'm going in the rain gear.
Does it rain? It rains more inside than outside?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever tried Gore-Tex socks?
No, I haven't.
Gore-Tex overs, they're very nice.
Really?
If they're new anyway, they start leaking after a while, but...
Yeah. No, I haven't.
Dry.
You know, I don't have a lot of cash to spend on cool bike gear. I wish I did.
Yeah, $40. I don't have money either, but $40 was worth it. I thought it was worth it. It lasts. This will be the second year of dry feet.
Yeah, my feet have never really been a problem. Feet haven't really been a problem. It's just kind of the rest of me. Especially the splashback.
It is not a problem. You don't mind if it gets wet?
We don't really get that wet. Like, if it's raining hard, I don't ride in the rain. Oh, okay. I know that sounds kind of lame, but...
That's not lame.
Like, this is no big deal.
Yeah.
This is no big deal. But much harder than this. It's not a lot of fun.
Yeah, so welcome to Bikescape, a semi-weekly show we do here. I do it all by myself. I actually had some help this week. I got some submissions from, I got an audio submission from Scott Mace out there in activist land here in the Bay Area. So we'll get to that later. But the main news of the day, or yesterday actually, was Bike to Work Day in San Francisco. And it was raining, as you can tell. It wasn't too bad. The streets were wet. There was a little bit of water coming off your wheel in the front, but... I never actually got to put my raincoat on. I carried it around all day and didn't actually put it on. I was wearing a wool sweater and it took care of things pretty well. So, Bike to Work Day. It was pretty successful, though. Usually you get a lot of newbies on Bike to Work Day, which is what the whole thing is about. I don't know if we got that many this time, but the idea was to turn San Francisco into a world-class city, and this happens in cities all over the Bay Area and around the world as well, but we were concentrating on the Bay Area. Check my levels here, turn this music down a bit. There we go. Lightning Hopkins. I'll turn it back up for a while. California showers.
Tell me why do rain when it start in California all the time. Out of all the rain, but you still have plenty sunshine.
Yeah, so according to the Bike Coalition, there's at least 30,000 San Franciscans bike to work on any given day. And that number could be as large as $50,000 in the last poll, which was taken back in 98. According to Leah, who we interviewed a few weeks ago for the show, Leah Shame from the Bike Coalition, she says that every new bike lane added in the city increases the number of cyclists on that route by about 50%. So, we have 4,500 dues-paying members in the Bike Coalition, so, most of them were riding yesterday if they don't usually ride. So, it's a good thing. There's the environmental reasons and all that stuff, but the main thing is to get people pumped up. And in my opinion, I think the best thing about Bike to Work Day is just the fostering of community. Bicyclists actually getting off their bike, having a cup of coffee at an Energizer station, getting a free bagel, talking to each other, signing a petition. Yeah, I volunteered at a table over at 17th and Valencia Street, which is like Bike Central here in the city. And we asked people to sign a petition to stop the government from their proposal to charge a toll to bicyclists on the Golden Gate Bridge. So that was the main thing we were doing. We were selling raffle tickets, raising some money, selling memberships. We had a special $20 for a membership, and you got a free t-shirt. And mainly it was the free bagels. That was the main thing everybody liked, and the coffee. Everybody loves coffee in the morning, get off their bike and have some coffee and talk, and everybody talked about what's happening in the bike world. And also, of course, the mayor rides down Market Street. I don't have the article in front of me, but in the Chronicle today, he was complaining about the potholes on Market Street. So that's what the mayor's there for, to fix the potholes. And I did read some time back that he is planning on doing a pothole. Pothole campaign. So that's what mayors do, and that's great. So Market Street really is a mess. Market Street in San Francisco is our main drag, and they had traffic counters out there, and between the hours of 8 and 9 a.m., 169 bikes went by on Market Street, and that was compared with 591 cars. So, you know, it's about 30% bikes that day. That's pretty good. And when you factor in the buses and the BART underneath the street, you know, most people making their way through that corridor are not in cars. We're going to be talking later with Chris Carlson about the bike lanes on Market Street, and how both of us agree that they're not working. You know, the main thing about Market Street is there's just too many cars on Market Street, and there's really no reason for them to be there. You know, I'm not so anti-car that I want to close the whole city off to cars, although, of course I would like to do that, but I'm pragmatic. But Market Street really could do without cars, at least private cars. Maybe taxis, buses, delivery trucks. But my opinion, we'll get to that later. What else have we got? Oh, my friend Matt was out there. On Market Street, on Valencia Street, ran into him, and there was this German woman, Modul, I believe her name was, and she was interviewing people for her German journalism class. So she was questioning Matt about community. How do you get your coworkers to join the bicycle community?
I suppose there is a small sense of bike community in my office now that, like, I know these people who ride, and occasionally we leaving at the same time and we ride together and we chat, or I will, like, I send those people an email saying, hey, tomorrow's bike to work day, so look around for a place to get coffee or whatever, and I'm not, like, trying to actively, you know, get them to, like, oh, you must, like, come to this party tonight or anything. But, I mean, I just kind of keep them informed of things going on. So I guess that does build community in a very small way. I'm not being very aggressive about it, but it's still, still outreach, still community.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, Matthew, thanks for that. So and then sitting there a little bit longer and handing out my little Bikescape flyers and collecting money, and who should walk up but Chris Carlson, one of the several people that were involved in the very first Critical Masses, luminary in here in San Francisco, so we had a little talk. Chris, what are you doing for Bike to Work Day?
I guess I decided to ride my bike.
Like you do every day.
Yeah, I've been a daily bike commuter since 1978, so I always find Bike to Work Day sort of oddly ironic, since it's something that, in fact, I always do. So, I mean, I'm glad for it. It's always fun. There's always these like unexpected little social moments like this.
Like this one right here, yes. That's what I like about it.
So that's a good thing, and people meet each other, and, you know, theoretically, I don't know how true it is, but theoretically, several hundred people or several thousand people try it out for the first time today. And I don't know if there's much evidence that that's true, but I hope it is.
I think that is true, but maybe not today because it was raining earlier.
Yeah, bad weather will turn somebody away from trying for the first time for sure. But, you know, it's also, like, still scary on the street here. So, you know, for a lot of people, that just because a lot of people are doing it doesn't necessarily solve the problem if they have to get from their door to some place where they feel safe, and there is no place safe for a long time, and you get to this place and it's like you still could get doored, you still get run over, you get the did you notice the new Market Street bike lanes?
Yeah,
they're beautiful in terms of, you know, physical infrastructure change. I'm really happy to have them. I have not been on them yet when there wasn't
a double park car
with, no delivery vans.
Yep.
FedEx, USPS, and UPS have taken over those lanes immediately and park, and there are wall to wall. There's no space.
And they're legally allowed to do that.
They are?
Yeah.
So this just turned into.
You're making a delivery. Itself. You're allowed to do it. Yeah. I don't. A lot of people work really hard on that, and it's not.
Of course, but that's the problem, not having a separate dedicated bikeway. Like on Market Street, especially, you could do that.
Market Street, they should just get rid of the cars altogether.
Right, you know, yeah, that would help, but not with delivery trucks and buses. It would still be, like, hairy to ride in that shared space, unless there was, like, why not? That's a Market Street, it's a perfect place to have a curb-separated dedicated bike space.
That would be actually really
separated
nice.
Separated from pedestrians and motorized traffic. I don't know why.
That's among the many plans.
Well, but you know what happens? I just went last night to the Grizzly Peak Cycling Club, and we didn't really get into this, but it's the cycling club mentality that really fights against that stuff. They're in this idea that, oh no, we can't have separate bikeways because A, we'll get ghettoized, we'll be forced to ride in them, as though there's any logic to that. And secondly, they actually go so far as to say that it's less safe. And that's based on all this John Forster madness where you have to ride 10,000 hours in order to be an accomplished, effective cyclist. And until you do, you shouldn't really have any rights. To ask for infrastructure change. It was just like, that's insane. That is so backwards. It's beyond comprehension. But every time there's ever been a public discussion in one of these hearings about what's happening with, you know, what could happen with all separated bikeways or any of that kind of stuff, it's the organized bicycle club types. And I don't want to name any names because I don't even know specifically who they are all the time. But they show up and they're in their little geeky outfits and they're like against it. They don't want any bike lanes. Yeah. Bike lanes are the problem. Bike lanes are unsafe based on their rear view mirror mentality about what's happened in the past with rather inadequate attempts to change bike accommodations.
My secret about Market Street is I always liked it the way, I liked being the human pachinko ball.
Well,
I've always found that a nice challenge.
I don't
challenge.
Remember, but back in 1996 we did this survey at Critical Mass to find out what people thought about everything, and it was actually a fun survey, it was totally unscientific, but we got around 100 responses and they were all over the map. But one of the really memorable lines somebody said, he said, you know, I really like Critical Mass and I really like what's happening with the improvements in the city, but we're going to look back one day and remember this, that scofflaw era that in some respects we're still living through as the golden era of bicycling, because we're totally free. There are no laws, nobody regulates it, you just do whatever you want, and and your safety is your own concern. And I've been living that ever since, you know, ever since I've been on a bicycle, and I'm used to that. So when I got my red light run ticket recently down here at a completely empty intersection of 14th and Valencia, as I went through the light like everybody does all day long, regardless, I was just so angry. And to find out it's $380. Here comes the second generation right here. Second generation pedestrian instead of a bicyclist.
How's it going?
I'm good.
Hi. Really good. Want to be on the radio?
Just make it up. We're talking about, like, do you need bike lanes, or would it be just better to be able to make up your own rules as you take over your space in the road independently of
as a second generation bicyclist?
I feel we need bike lanes because even if someone does feel that they can do it on their own, there are lots of people who feel they can't.
That's true. Yeah, if you want to bring new cyclists out into the road.
Definitely. And a lot of people are afraid to commute in the downtown area because they're afraid of getting hit by a car.
They're wimps. They can just ride 10,000 hours and then they won't feel that way. That's the argument of the organized bicycling club. So everybody should ride 10,000 hours and become an effective cyclist. It's like, yeah, that's great. How do you ride 10,000 hours? Where do you do it? And how do you learn?
In Golden Gate Park on Sunday.
Yeah, round and round in a parking lot. So how's life? You're here for a little while or forever?
Oh, I'm here for the summer. I finished my finals.
Good for you. Wow.
Just take a look out at the weather. It keep raining all the time. You know it be raining this minute.
Yeah, you can always trust Chris to say something provocative.
You look up and you see sunshine.
It's funny, we say provocative things here on the Bikescape all the time. Here, we just attacked John Forrester. I'm waiting for some flames to come into the blog, bikescape.blogspot.com. One of the things about this whole podcasting thing is everybody just loves everybody else. It's wonderful, but there's not much debate, so I thought we'd say something a little drastic there. You know, I actually think that John Forrester says some good things, and I agree with him on a lot of stuff. You know, I do think you should drive your bicycle like it's a vehicle, although sometimes it's not a vehicle. You know, you have to be flexible, and you know, the the Forester viewpoint isn't always very flexible. But you know, you got to take that lane. You don't want to getting doored. There's no excuse for getting doored, even though it's the driver's fault. You know, you got to take the lane. You got to stay 3 feet away from those side of the cars. You know, you don't want to drive in the. You don't want to drive your bike in the door zone, or in the gutters. And you know, very often, you know, these bike lanes really do suck. They're just a little gutter, you know, painted with a stripe of white paint. You know, it's so some traffic engineer can say, "Oh, we stripe 5,000 miles of bike lanes in the city just in 1 year alone." When really, it doesn't do anything except for just collect glass and just a place to ghettoize yourself. On the other hand, I've worked for the Valencia bike lanes, and I worked for the San Jose bike lanes. I think they're really great, mainly because they reclaimed space from automobiles. They took away a car lane and made it into a bike lane. And you're not ghettoizing the bikes, but you're actually empowering them. You're actually giving them a little bit of space to actually take from the cars. And it's really a pleasure to be able to ride up that huge hill on San Jose Avenue with a kid behind me and not have to worry about a line of cars honking at me behind me. It's just great. So that's that. What else have we got? We're going to play some music. Let's skip ahead to some dub music here. Dub to the rainbow. After the rain comes the sun, and that's how the second half of the day was. There was a big rainbow over Valencia Street during the bike traffic thing there.
Transportation stations in the Bay Area.
Let's start that over.
This is Scott News.
There we go.
Parking bicycles at public transportation stations in the Bay Area has always been a bit of an iffy proposition. Many bike racks at these stations are exposed to the elements. If you manage to survive the weather, you've got to contend with bike thieves. Traditional bicycle lockers are rented on a monthly or even yearly basis. This makes them highly inefficient, since most people who use them don't use them most of the time. What's to be done? Well, on Bike to Work Day, a Berkeley company, Elock Technologies, had its grand opening for a new system called BikeLink, which is now installed at the El Cerrito Plaza BART station. In this new setup, you rent the bicycle locker by the hour. Stephen Grover, president of Elock, explains more.
In general, what we're trying to do is we're working to make the joy of riding a bike and the wonderful, I call it thinking time, that transit affords a convenient option for more people. Riding your bike is no fun if it's not there when you get back, or if it takes 5 minutes to lock it up. We've created a technology that makes secure bicycle parking as easy and convenient as curbside automobile parking. BikeLink works like a parking meter, but it's a lot cheaper, and you get a refund if you don't use all your time.
Stephen, this is a fabulous facility. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So what's next for the BikeLink program and expanding it other places other than El Cerrito?
Well, we already have facilities, three of them, in Santa Cruz, two in Palo Alto. We're going to be putting in three stations in San Diego on the NCTD commuter line. And we're doing some in Vancouver, Washington. And we just got a call today from TriMet, so we've got interest all over the place.
Are the rates different at different installations, or are they all about the same rate?
They all vary depending on the location. In Santa Cruz, it's only 3 cents per hour, for example. Here in El Cerrito, we set it at 5 cents per hour. That's going to be under review. I should emphasize that the only purpose of charging is to, one, slightly offset the cost of distributing cards and maintaining the database of cardholders and so forth, but the primary purpose is simply to deter people from monopolizing a locker so that this can indeed function as a shared resource and that we get the maximum usage out of the secure bicycle parking.
And where can people find out more on the internet about BikeLink?
They can go to bikelink.org. They can also email me using the email address info@bikelink.org.
Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Yeah, it was Scott Mace. Thanks a lot, Scott. You know, anybody else who wants to send in some audio, if it fits in with what we're doing, or we'll put it on, I'll put it on. And even if it doesn't, I'll save it for later. Put it on at a better time when it works better with the show we're doing. So that's really great. I really appreciate that. Very professional job, Scott. Events. It's time to talk about events. We always do New York and San Francisco. If you have events in your town, send them in. I'll read them on the air. That's happening in New York. Monday, May 23rd, the Green Apple Downtown Eco Tour. They're going to the 6BC Botanical Garden, mid-block on East 6th between Avenues B and C. Not on the corner is what it says. Friday, May 27th, 6 p.m., Union Square South. Critical Mass always starts at Union Square North, about 7 o'clock. But at 6 o'clock, just like last month, there's going to be a rally. It's permitted. To protest the crackdown on Critical Mass and just the crackdown on speech in general. So this has been organized by independent people. There's a link on the website, bikescape.blogspot.com. I'll leave another link in the show notes. Go there, maybe lock your bike up somewhere else. You'll find out where to start the ride. You know, that's the what it's come to. You know, it's we have to meet and then disappear into the corners and then ride our bikes surreptitiously through town so we don't all get arrested. It's nuts. The lawsuits are working their way. The wheels of justice are slow. I'm sure we're gonna prevail. Justice always does. So anyway, 7 o'clock, Critical Mass, Union Square North, at the other end of Union Square, and you know, you may find some other places to go. And Reverend Billy, great guy. He's coming to San Francisco. I plan to talk to him. He's doing a Time's Up benefit show to raise money for this whole, Magilla that's going on here. Bicycle Fetish Day in New York also. Saturday, May 28th, noon to 6. Havemeyer Street between Grand and Hope in Williamsburg. That's in Brooklyn. Riverside Ride, Saturday, May 28th, 10 p.m. Nice evening ride. Columbus Circle entrance to Central Park, 59th Street, Central Park West. They got their repair workshops on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. at the Time's Up Space, 49 East Houston, between Mott and Mulberry. That's New York. What's happening in San Francisco? There's an affordable housing bike tour, 10 a.m., McLaren Lodge at the intersection of Fell and Stanyan, ending at 8th and Folsom around 1 p.m., 6 to 8 mile ride. It's co-sponsored by the Housing Action Coalition. You can join David Baker. He's a well-respected architect here in San Francisco and also an SFBC Bike Coalition member. He's going to lead the group through several of his local affordable housing residential design projects. See what's possible and what the future holds for high quality design and community. So yeah, San Francisco, the rents are probably worse than New York. So. There's a street skills class, 10 a.m. to 2, West Portal Rec Center above the West Portal Muni Station. These 4-hour in-classroom courses teach the basics of safe and enjoyable cycling, including riding in traffic, necessary equipment, crash avoidance. You always want to avoid those crashes, legal rights and responsibilities, and all that kind of stuff. So it's League of American Bicyclists. Pre-registration required. More info at sfbike.org/edu. The Bike Kitchen is having its 2-year anniversary. This is we'll be visiting the Bike Kitchen when we go down to Bike Summer in LA, but this is the San Francisco Bike Kitchen. 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., 18th in Alabama, in San Francisco, in the beautiful Potrero Hill Mission area. Last year's anniversary party was a big success, but this one's going to be bigger and better. And they're welcoming all ages to compete in, they're going to have like a bike rodeo. They'll have all sorts of challenges, you know, like a slow race. tube patch king. I guess who can patch a tube more the quickest. The Huffy Toss, that should be fun. CycleSide, I'll find a link to their website. They're a great, fun bunch of people. They ride around on their little bikes, like with fezes on, kind of like Shriners or something, and they have a big bike carnival that they do. They have a little bike roller coaster, and or bike merry-go-round, I should say, and all sorts of fun stuff. They'll have a bicycle-powered Ferris wheel, other extraterrestrial contraptions, and they'll be offering bicycle-blended smoothies. And there's this guy that's got a smoothie machine on attached to his bike. At 3 p.m., the judging will begin for the homestyle bike competition with a panel of judges made up from some of the brightest Bay Area bike luminaries. So bring your fanciest, nuttiest, or classiest homestyle bike. I don't know what homestyle bike means, but we can find out if you go. And you can win a grand prize of $100 if you got the best bike. And of course, it wouldn't be a party without a barbecue, music, raffle for wonderful door prizes, bike prizes. DJs Nathan and Jeff Lepard, is that what the name is? I'm not quite sure. They're going to have a thing. There's going to be valet bike parking, of course, and who knows what other kind of stuff. Maybe some live bands and stuff, too, as well. Some sad news. Let's see, I'll take off my glasses so I can read this. There's a benefit for Torin Arnold, May 25th, 2005. Torin, a local bike shop employee, was run down intentionally, it says here, by a driver in a hit-and-run incident on February 26th. As a result, he has permanently lost his vision, and because of his injuries, he has had to stop attending colleges. He's currently unable to work, and all his proceeds are from this benefit will go towards medical and living expenses, and I'm sure it won't be enough. And the kick in the groin over this whole thing is the district attorney of Marin County, this happened up in Marin, is considering reducing the charges against the violator. It's not acceptable, as the driver intentionally hit Torin and fled the scene of the crime. So I don't know where they come up with that, if they have witnesses or not, but this sounds like Sean Daniels sent this email out to everybody. So they're going to have hand-deliver letters and signatures to DA Edward Barbarian stating that the driver should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, and they're going to be gathering at 3:45 p.m. on May 25th at the Civic Center Post Office, 2 Civic Center Drive, San Rafael, California, across the street from the Marin Civic Center. And that's the news. It's another Bikescape. Let me find some music. Oh, already heard that. Oh, we're out of music. How about... Oh, I promised myself I wouldn't play this. No, I'm not going to play it. I'm going to play something else even worse. Yes, Mireille Mathieu. Les bicyclettes de Belsize. Belsize, I guess it's pronounced. We'll turn it down because it's really bad. So, see you again next week. I'm going to be riding in the Scavenger Scramble Ellicott race tomorrow here in San Francisco. I'm a little nervous about it. I don't usually do these kind of competitive things, but it's all in the interest of reportage. And I'm going to bring it all to you. It's all for you. I'm going to risk my life and limb riding my fixie around at high speeds up and down huge hills with no brakes. Try and win that money, that jackpot. And it's all so I can get a good podcast. Get some good interviews with some messenger types. So, have a good week. Be careful out there. And enjoy the summer. The temperatures are going up. And have a great time out there. I'll see you in a week. Belle sœur.